what if my marriage, this is what my partner and I do together. My partner said, this is your journey. I'm not going to stop drinking, or I don't like the fact that you're not drinking, or my partner pressures me to drink. And so we have to understand that no matter what happens in this journey, the person who's going to be with you at the end of that journey is you.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostest. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Are there sights, sounds, or smells that remind you of a past traumatic event, causing you to fight, flight, or freeze? These physical and emotional responses are called triggers, and they happen to all of us. Triggers can be tricky, but the key is to stop the trigger in its tracks and turn the trigger into a treasure. Just like Dr. Nicole LaPera said, there's nothing negative about being triggered. It's a calling to heal our wounds. To help you heal those wounds, I created a free download called the Trigger to Treasure Technique, where you will learn the 4 steps on how to identify your triggers, how to control your triggers, and how you can move past your past so you can live peacefully in the present moment. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/trigger to receive your free download, and you can begin to turn your triggers into treasures. Welcome back to the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm Wendy Valentine, and today's episode will be quite sobering, literally, because today we are talking about you living a big, beautiful, bold, alcohol-free life. If you ever get those little whispers from your soul that alcohol is affecting your health, your relationship with others, the relationship with yourself, or that very loud whisper that says alcohol is getting in the way of you living your best life, then you need to listen up. And if you've tried to stop drinking in the past and found it too difficult to make the changes, then you definitely need to listen up. Listen to those little whispers from your soul and listen to today's episode. My hope is that this episode will help you uncover the commitment, courage, capability, and confidence that resides deep within you to start your journey to living an alcohol-free life. Our guest expert, Terry Patterson, is going to teach you the 4 steps to change your relationship with alcohol. Terry is a functional nutritionist and a This Naked Mind, I like how that sounds, senior coach. Terry blends her knowledge of nutrition with her passion for living an alcohol-free life into a unique business as the Sober Nutritionist. Since becoming a sober, mindful drinking coach in 2019, Terry has helped thousands of people take a break from drinking and create true wellness. Terry is excited to expand her mission of helping people discover true wellness to include her signature program, The Self Experience, exclusively for women who have stopped drinking and are ready to start living. Terry is also the host of the popular podcast, The Sober Edge. I love that name. It's really good. Inspiration for alcohol-free living. And Terry, by the way, won the Hula Hoop Championship of Fisher Junior High School.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. I'm so glad you have that interesting fact that not very many people know.
Yeah, it's so funny. I saw that on your Instagram right before we started. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I love hula hooping. Love it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, my fellow.
Thank you. Well, hula hooping looks very different now, because back when I did it, they didn't do like 7 hula hoops at a time and they weren't weighted.
No, exactly. I know. They were like the light ones you'd find at Target.
Yes.
Or Kmart, I guess, back then. We didn't have Target yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. And I'm so glad you're bringing your wisdom to all of us today. So many of us need it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really a passion for me to talk about true wellness and living without alcohol.
You know, too, I was just thinking about this. I mean, I'm glad that this whole topic has evolved, because it used to be such a dark subject that nobody would talk about, unless it was like you go to a little meeting by yourself and it's like a scary thing. And you were kind of like left literally all on your own sometimes. And now like there's so much light on this topic that it's not so like unusual anymore to like embark on the journey of sobriety, right?
Yeah, we've really brought it out of, like you said, the dark ages. And there is another way to approach this. And it looks very different than a traditional, what our culture sort of tells us, that we hit rock bottom, we have a problem, it's a dark place. And for me, it just wasn't like that.
Yes, right. Like as if you're broken or something.
Yeah, and yeah, there's nothing to fix. It's a choice. It's an empowered choice.
Yeah. So tell us about your story. Tell us about your like breakdown to breakthrough story.
Yeah. So I love that. For me, I didn't hit a rock bottom. I was like most people in my life, drinking. I started out drinking socially. It was a lot of fun. When my husband and I were first married, we would go wine tasting. My parents lived in the Napa Valley. My dad became an amateur winemaker, you know, and it was all fun and games, literally. And then as I got older, and this is really true with a lot of women, kind of that place between the 40s and 50s where things are starting to get kind of intense. You know, we've got our kids, we've got teenagers, where our career might be, you know, going in directions that are eating up a lot of time. You know, we've taken the eye off our relationship with our spouse perhaps. And so that feels a little tenuous. And so there's so many moving parts. And then alcohol starts to show up in ways that are more than just the social night out or the girls' book club. And for me, it looked like starting to drink every day. And it was a glass of wine with cooking dinner. And then it was maybe a cocktail. And then my husband and I moved to the country when I was 40. And I didn't work. And I was home with my kids. And it felt like I was on vacation. I was in a new place. And drinking kind of ramped up. And we had new friends. So we were throwing big parties. And you know, there was that, exactly what you said in the intro, Wendy, that still small voice in the back of my head saying like, why do you have to drink every night? Like, you should take a break. And so I started a long road of moderating. And that was like cutting back, you know, only drinking wine during the week and cocktails on the weekend, only drinking one glass, not drinking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that was very tiring. You know, when you have a voice in your head all the time that you're negotiating with, you know, can I drink tonight? What did I drink last night? How much did I drink? Did I drink too much? How does this feel? It takes up a lot of space in your head. So I would go ahead.
Like this voice that you're negotiating with. And then probably on the days that you weren't drinking, then you were probably like, okay, you were negotiating even more on those days. And like you said, it takes up energy. It takes up space in your mind, right? It's exhausting.
Yes. And I had a coach friend that she stated it like, we give alcohol a lot of different hats. So like, I feel bored. Oh, let's have a drink. I feel happy. Let's have a drink. I'm going out. Let's have a drink. I'm stressed. Let's have a drink.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sleep.
Yeah. Let's have a drink.
Yep.
that's a lot of jobs we give to alcohol. And so I decided that I needed to fire alcohol. Needed to fire alcohol from all the jobs I had given it. And for me, that looked like getting to a place where that still small voice started tapping on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then it started kind of parking on my shoulder. Like it just didn't go away. It sat there with its arms crossed and was like, pay attention. And I realized that I was miserable drinking. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't fun anymore. Even the times I drink for fun weren't fun. And it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so
it just becomes like this mindless thing that you're doing, and it's unconscious. You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we forget that it does have such addictive properties. So the part for me that was really eye-opening was when I tried to take a break and I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't one of those people who, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. I was what I call a wellness enthusiast. I wasn't a wellness professional, but I would do all the things. And yet I didn't remove alcohol. I would do these 30-day cleanses and help people go on kind of these elimination diets for 30 days. And I wouldn't drink alcohol, but boy, day 31, I was like, couldn't wait to get back to the races.
That was like your goal, was that? Yes.
And I realized that I was planning, like if I was going to take 30 days off or lead a group, I would look at my calendar and be like, well, I can't do it then. We have a wedding. Or I can't do it then. We're going on vacation. And now it seems ludicrous. But at the time, my life really revolved around drinking.
Yeah. It controlled everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I woke up one day and I told my husband, I'm going to stop drinking. And I might need to go to meetings. And this was in 2015. So at the time, there really wasn't that I was aware of. There's not like the online programs that there are now. There's not like the support. There's not like the alternative places. And so I was really kind of terrified to think of walking into, you know, a church basement, basically identifying as an alcoholic and having to run my life. Go, you know, as much as I was thinking about alcohol, I didn't want to live a life, Wendy, where I was thinking that much about not drinking.
Yes, right. And that you had that label placed on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because for me, so what I did was I stopped drinking and I told people right away, I'm not drinking anymore. And if people asked me, I said, it just wasn't serving me.
Yeah.
And it was really true. And so I never drank again. And that was in October of 2015. And I didn't go to any meetings. I didn't have a coach. I didn't do anything around support. But one thing that happened in my breakthrough was that I took that wellness enthusiast part and I decided to become a wellness professional. Mm-hmm. So the universe delivered on January 1st of 2016, an invitation in the form of an article on the front page of our local newspaper. I live in a small town. And there was a woman and she was opening a little wellness business and she was a nutritionist. And I started reading about her story and I was really focused on where she went to school. So I called her up. This is 2016, right? I called her up.
That's only, 3 months after you stopped drinking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I said, tell me about this program that you went to, this school, nutrition school. Yeah. And it's called Nutritional Therapy Association. And she said, you should absolutely do it. I'll be your mentor. And so I did, and I didn't realize at the time, but it was really powerful to have something that I was looking forward to, something to focus on, something to put my energy in, something really positive was going to come out of this place where I had felt lost.
Yeah. Something to replace that and even better, right? It's amazing though, too, how things will line up. Like what a synchronistic moment though.
Oh, like, yeah.
What if that had not happened? Like you probably still would have kept on your pathway, but it wouldn't be what it is today. Where do you think you would be if you had not made that decision in October of 2015?
Oh, I think I would have struggled for a while longer. I think I would have become maybe a little bit more cynical and bitter and negative. which is not my natural personality. And I think I would have eventually come out of it. I really do, because I think I would have recognized this conversation that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And felt drawn into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably those whispers would have turned into screams.
Yeah.
And that's really, I guess that's the point. Like, you don't want it to get to that.
Mm-mm.
You're getting the whispers and you need to listen to it.
Yeah. If you can move when you're getting that sense of questioning, and we like to say it, you know, you hear it sometimes in these alcohol freedom circles that the question is not, am I drinking too much? The question is alcohol adding anything to my life?
Hmm. Yep.
And that's a really powerful question to say, because you don't need to have a reason to stop drinking other than you want to.
Yeah. And I think that's also an old way of thinking too, with that, is that you had to be like drinking out of a paper bag and hanging out on the, you know, sitting in front of 7-Eleven or something, but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's like with anything in life, if it's not serving you, then gotta let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you know, I got, most people were very supportive. I didn't really have people. I looked at my group of friends and thought, I probably drink more than most of them. They're going to be fine with me not drinking. I didn't think I would be boring, and I thought they would be boring.
Oh, I was like,
drunk people are boring unless you're drinking.
Yeah,
right? Because they repeat the stories and they're like sloppy and you can't understand them and they're loud. And there was some of that. But the one person that sort of surprised me was my mother. And she told me, she said, I don't understand why you stopped drinking. You didn't have a problem. And I said, but it was a problem for me.
Yeah.
And so I finally told her, it was, she just didn't really, couldn't really wrap her brain around it. And you know, I didn't, what's that?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't tell her what I told my husband, like, my brain is thinking about drinking all the time. But what I did tell her was my dad had been a smoker early in their marriage. And she despised that habit. So I said, Mom, what if I was a smoker and I told you I was going to stop smoking? She goes, oh, I'd be so excited for you. Like, that'd be the best thing. I said, okay, I want you to feel that way for me about not drinking, because that's how I feel.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, it's amazing the perception that a lot of us will have around that. What was your greatest fear when you decided to stop drinking?
So I'll answer that in two parts, because I had a fear, but then something came up that was like, uh-oh. And that was sort of a secondary thing. But the first thing was really, I think it was really just that I would be miserable not drinking. I was miserable drinking. And I thought, what if I'm miserable not drinking? Mm. And so I didn't know. I think the biggest fear was, I think about it as a trust fall.
Mm.
Or a leap, you know, so you've got to take this leap and you don't know what life's going to look like on the other side. And you can't really describe it to someone. You can tell them your experience, but our brain doesn't know. You know, we know that our brain likes to prove itself right. It likes to take memories from the past and make them meaning out of them. And so when we ask our brain to go into the future and imagine this amazing life, and we have no framework, our brain just says, you're probably going to be miserable.
And you're definitely not miserable.
No, definitely not miserable. It's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. My life looks so different.
Yeah. What are some benefits that came out of it? Whether it was in the very beginning or if they revealed themselves later on.
Yeah. So one is that I believe that when we're drinking and over drinking, we're dialing down that intuition, mm-hmm. because we don't trust ourselves. Our no doesn't mean no. Our yes doesn't mean yes. You know, we wake up in the morning, I'm not going to drink tonight. This is, you know, and then we drink and then we turn down that intuition a little bit. So for me, getting back in touch with my intuition was a huge plus.
Yep. It clouds your thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And along with that comes trusting myself more. So trusting myself to take a big risk and go to nutrition school, start a business, and then, you know, start putting myself out there and offering nutrition services and, you know, building a business, going online, figuring all this out. I was 55 when I stopped drinking.
Wow. And look, gosh, it's amazing. You're like the little guinea pig that.
Yeah, exactly.
your own little experiment, right?
And I think of how I was playing small, but I knew something. The inside was telling me, like, this is not how you're meant to live your life. But I didn't know that breaking free from alcohol would be the beginning of this transformation.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be an excuse for others so that they can keep playing small. Sometimes if somebody got the invitation, like, here you go, you can really shine your light into the world, would they actually take that invitation? You know, where they go like, no, I'll just stay small. Thank you.
It's very scary for a lot of people. And for me, so many things happened that felt inspiring and started connecting with people in new ways. You know, relationships really shift because when we change, the people around us are going to have a new response. And for me, it looked like being more authentic in my relationships, better communication. My spouse, my husband stopped drinking 2 years after I stopped. And so
the way that we connect,
the way that we connect is very different than all those years when we were drinking.
And here he had a winery too.
No, my dad. My dad, not a winery. My dad and mom lived in the Napa Valley, and my dad was an amateur winemaker.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, that's wow, so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the four C's there for changing your relationship with alcohol.
Yeah, so this is a framework that comes from a man named Dan Sullivan, who's also a coach. But he talks about how confidence comes last. And what I realized is that, you know, we think we have to have confidence in order to take this leap or to do the trust fall, right? But actually, it's so empowering to think that we do not need confidence. Mm-hmm. So we have this framework that really, I think, is really helpful when it comes to changing our relationship with alcohol, but it works in all areas of life. Mm-hmm. We start with commitment. Mm. And to me, the word that I choose to use is intention. Like, what do I want to have happen? What am I open to creating? What is possible here? And when we make that commitment to explore, to get curious, to suspend judgment, to try, to experiment, that's a beautiful place to start. And out of that commitment, the second thing that happens is we have to have courage.
Yeah.
Because we, as long as we're in our comfort zone, you know, the next step out of our comfort zone is courage. And so we have to be willing to take that commitment and act on it.
Yes.
And yeah. And so if you're in this place of like, I want to explore living without alcohol. I want to explore true wellness, as I would call it. I want to see what it looks like. This courage step might look like telling someone. Mm-hmm. The courage step might look like joining a group that is alcohol-free. The courage might look like getting all the alcohol out of the house. It's going to look different for each person. And the next thing that happens is that capability, which is really the practice. Mm-hmm. This is where we have to build the reps. You know, we don't do one thing one time and develop confidence. We do it again and we fail, or we try, or we experiment, or we explore, or we shift and we pivot and we keep going. We practice. And with enough reps, we become confident.
Yeah. So good. I love that.
Yeah.
I know. I was just thinking too, like with courage, when I started off on my journey and taken off in the RV and, you know, it's like, I was scared, you know, and even starting my podcast, doing all of this stuff. And I still get scared, but I'll leap. And then once I take that leap, then I gain even more courage.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like, you know, the saying is leap and the net will appear. It's like, you're the net. You're the one that will catch yourself. You have to start trusting yourself that you can do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times, myself included, for so many years, I would look outside of myself for those things, for that net. Mm-hmm. But then when I started like, wait a minute, maybe I'm the one that can actually take care of me.
Yeah. And that happens in the alcohol-free journey too, I think, Wendy, is that a lot of people, so I work predominantly with women who are really feeling stuck. They maybe, like me, had decades of drinking and they've been trying to break up with alcohol for a while and things are getting in the way, circumstances, thoughts, and they're really, you know, stuck in this place where they're not trusting that they will be enough. Because people will say, well, like, but what if I lose all my friends? And it's like,
yep.
No, you may, but friendships will shift and change. Think that, you know, not every relationship is going to last through this choice that you're making, but you're also, it's not a foregone conclusion that you're going to lose everybody.
Right.
You know? And so then the other thing is people say, well, you know, what if my marriage, this is what my partner and I do together. My partner said, this is your journey. I'm not going to stop drinking, or I don't like the fact that you're not drinking, or my partner pressures me to drink. And so we have to understand that no matter what happens in this journey, the person who's going to be with you at the end of that journey is you.
Yes. Yep.
It's the only guarantee you have.
Yep. Because you can't control what other people are going to think or say or do.
Do you ask yourself questions like, who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I living a life I don't love? Answers to these questions and more are revealed in the new Freedom at Midlife group coaching program, where I offer you a guaranteed roadmap to your own midlife makeover. In this powerful 7-week program, you will learn the 7 steps to freedom method to help you discover who you want to become, what life you want to live, and most importantly, how to get there. Instead of being lost in life, miserable in menopause, or struggling to juggle it all, you could reignite your love life, retire that dreadful job, and reinvent yourself. So, if you're ready to begin your midlife journey of transformation, filled with accountability, guidance, and support, then the time is now. Your midlife needs you to make a move. The Freedom at Midlife program is opening for enrollment soon with limited spots available. To be the first to know when we are open for enrollment, please join the waitlist now at freedomatmidlife.com, and you will soon discover that next courageous step in creating your epic second half of life.
And usually it's not nearly as horrendous as we imagine. You know, we tend to go out and create these monsters in the future. And
yeah. It's just like you were saying with your mom, right? Like,
yeah.
And she was just, that was her level of thinking about it. Was anything against you personally?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fascinating. And so, you know, I tell that story to clients from time to time, if it's helpful, because they, yep, you know, it's like you can be you and authentically you and allow people time to accept and explore and be in relationship with you and not assume it's all going to fall apart or you're doing something wrong or you have to change. Yep. You know, becoming alcohol free, you will hear across the board, like I'm in a lot of free groups, you know, and if you go in and people are talking about, I just reached 60 days or I've just, you know, it's 2 years today. And if they go into what has changed for them,
yes,
almost universally it is, I'm more confident. I trust myself. My relationships are better. I'm happier. I'm more fulfilled. You know, I have better thinking. I'm not beating myself up all the time. I like, yes, to remind people that if we could shame and blame ourselves into change, we wouldn't need Wendy and we wouldn't need Terry, but it doesn't work that way. And so we have to let go of beating ourselves up and come to a place of compassion, curiosity, grace, and just explore like I said earlier, you know, what would life look like without alcohol?
Yes.
What is it really adding something to my life as opposed to, you know, the dark story that culture wants to tell us that, you know, you have a disease and you're always going to be fixated on it being in recovery. And it's my story, and it's not something that I see for my clients.
Yeah, exactly. So I noticed on, you have tons of great programs, by the way. I know you
Thank
know that.
You.
But one of them is for women over 50, which is great. Stop drinking in your 50s and beyond, designed for midlife women to rediscover who you are without wine. And I had made some other notes on here from your website that, because I was wondering, I was like, oh, you know, is it a lot more challenging in your 40s and 50s? And like you made the point earlier, there's a lot of things going on at midlife. Kids mm-hmm. are leaving the nest, relationships are changing, career might be changing, right? And then also you add in perimenopause, menopause. You've got all of those health changes that are happening in your body, whether you like it or not. And so a lot of that, the chemistry in your body is changing.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. And alcohol, as we age, it's harder to metabolize alcohol. And so it shows up in new ways. And also we build a tolerance for alcohol over time. So if we started drinking in our 20s or 30s or in our teens, like many of my clients, by the time you're in your late 40s, early 50s, it's had a lot of impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you had said on here, as I got older, I noticed it was harder to bounce back from over drinking. I noticed I was no longer drinking to have fun. In fact, I was drinking more and enjoying it less. Drinking became me time. And I found myself more isolated because I was too exhausted to make the effort. And that's interesting too, because where before it was like, okay, you're drinking because you're socializing. And then you end up becoming kind of like antisocial.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I started to worry about my drinking. So I tried to moderate. It was scary when I realized how hard it was to cut back. And then no one thought I had a problem, but I knew I was miserable. And I think it just like, it goes back to what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like what makes you happy? Like anything, anything, like what makes you happy? If it doesn't make you happy, then you have to, I mean, I always say like, we're usually the ones that are standing in our own way. We have to get out of our way to actually live the life that we want to live. We have to listen to those whispers. Like those whispers are there for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find that, you know, alcohol is really just the symptom. Mm-hmm. And so when I work with people with alcohol, like I had, my nephew was curious about, we were talking this summer and he's like, so do you just like get on a call and talk about drinking? And I say, almost never. It's like the drinking is like going on maybe in the background, or they've recently stopped drinking. But what we're really focusing on is how do we create a life we don't want to escape from?
Yes.
And that is so interesting because, you know, as we focus on building this big, beautiful life, the alcohol piece just gets smaller and smaller and less important. And that is the beauty of living alcohol free.
Yep. It's like the saying, where your attention goes is where energy flows, right?
So I say that all the time. I love that. Yes.
If you're focusing on that, then that's getting all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead, focusing your mind, like for you, you know, you started that whole program in January and that became your new focus.
Yeah.
So really it's like helping someone to focus their energies on something else, something that excites them.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I hear so often is, well, I don't know what to do with all this time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, because you've been numbing out and you've been drinking just sort of fills up a lot of time because things slow down and you pitter patter around, or you sit on the couch and waste time, and all of a sudden it's the end of your day. You get more tired as you're drinking. You might get a little energy in the beginning, but alcohol is both a depressant and a stimulant. So, you know, you have this weird dynamic. And so here we are. And that was my thing. When I stopped drinking, I had so much time and energy. I was like bouncing off the walls. So thank goodness, you know, I remember my husband even saying, kind of tongue in cheek, but he said, you should just have a glass of wine and calm down. And I was like, not going to do that. Got to figure out something else.
Did you happen to have any health issues that were resolved when you stopped drinking?
My gut was the main thing that I really noticed. So it was interesting when I went to nutrition school, two things. First, I thought nobody there would be drinking because they would know better. Not true. They were just drinking low sulfite wine or tequila because it had no sugar. And I was like, okay. And then I, you know what I noticed too, because it was an alternative school. It wasn't like Western medicine. It's, you know, really working on digestion and other factors, lifestyle. And so what was happening was almost every other student had an authentic healing story. Like, I came to this nutrition work because I had Lyme disease and no one could help me. Or I came to this nutrition work because my family has a history of, you know, high blood pressure and I want to control that. Or, you know, I healed my son from something through nutrition, but that was not me. And so it was really interesting. I noticed that my gut got much better. Like I stopped having, I used to think, oh, I just can't eat rich food, but it was because I was drinking while eating. And then alcohol metabolizes before food. So the food was hanging around in my gut, creating all kinds of stuff. But when I became an alcohol freedom coach, I thought, oh, this is that full circle moment. This is my authentic story of healing.
Yeah. How cool.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's like applying all of that to that, the nutrition and living a better life for yourself.
Yeah. And I really do think, I find so many people, once we take alcohol out and we're like, oh my gosh, I feel good. I'm excited about life again. The next thing most people look at is getting healthier.
Yes. Yeah.
And well, it's a perfect time to do it.
Yeah. You're cutting that noise, the noise of drinking, right? So once you can get quieter and get still, then you're like, okay, now it's just taking that first step. Speaking of the four C's, what did you struggle with the most? And what do you feel like most people struggle with the most?
You know, for me, I think I made that commitment early on. So that was not, I mean, it was hard in the beginning. Like until I made that commitment, I didn't have any wind in my sails.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, once I made that, it made it so much easier. So Gretchen Rubin has a framework, the Four Tendencies, that I love. And I have all my clients take that quiz because we just need to know how we internalize, you know, making changes. And so I'm an upholder. And so for me, I needed to have that absolute, like, say no forever. Because it was so much easier to say no than to say, well, maybe. Because if maybe was all the noise. And so once I made the commitment, the rest followed much easier.
So basically, like before, you had like 1 foot over here and 1 foot over there, like where you needed to like have both feet on one side or the other.
Yeah, it was so much easier because it just cut out all the noise. Like instead of being like, well, I can, you know, I'll drink next month or I'll try taking 30 days off. It was still so noisy in my head. But once I said, I'm never drinking again, all I had to focus on was, well, what'll I do instead?
Right.
And it felt so much easier. So that was, you know, it was very hard in the beginning, but it was so freeing when I made that. And then I think courage for me happened really quickly because I stepped out and started showing everybody what I was doing with my alcohol-free life. And that gave me the opportunity to practice telling people I wasn't drinking, being at events, not drinking. I think it was like 10 days into being alcohol-free, I went on my first vacation with my husband and his high school friends. And thank God there was one guy, the weirdo of the group, who never drank, right? We were like, well, there he goes, you know, he never drank in his life, like never, never. Yeah. And so at one point when it was like, they were day drinking and they were reminiscing about all the high school stuff and it was those boring drunk people. I looked at my friend and I'm like, we were in Monterey, California by the coast and it was beautiful. And I said, you want to go for a bike ride? And so I realized, you know, early on that distraction can play a part. We don't want to distract forever, but, you know, having something that you're going to do instead of just wallowing in accepting this change or feeling so heavy. So that was really helpful too.
Yeah, I would think in the beginning it would be easier to kind of avoid some of those situations, like, you know, maybe not going to a bar or going to a party. And if you just have to say no for a while, you know, then fine. You're saying yes to you, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's so much you really learning what feels right. And one thing that's interesting is sometimes people will say, well, but I always go to the parties. Like, that's what I do. I love parties. But then they realize without drinking, like, maybe not so much. Like, I was drinking to get through the party I thought I was supposed to go to. And if I don't go to the party, all problems are solved.
Yeah, exactly. Or some people will drink for the courage, but then they find that they really don't have the courage after they've been drinking because it just makes you, like, more intimidated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Mm-hmm. So you've got the programs. And what about, you've got a podcast too. Sober
Ed,
which I love that name. And then do you provide one-on-one coaching too?
Yes, I do take one-on-one clients. I used to do a lot of group coaching in big groups with This Naked Mind, and I don't coach for them anymore. So I do my own independent, they still have coaching programs, but I'm no longer affiliated as a coach with them. So I coach individually, and then I have my own programs that I love because it gives me an opportunity to really, like I was telling you, I think before we hit record, like, I think the most amazing thing about this journey for me has been that I get to be that guide by your side, and I'm just a little further along. Yeah. And so if I can take your hand and say, oh, guess what? I found this path over here. Let's try this. Let's talk about this. And that's been my story. And it's a very authentic place to meet women. That's what I want to do. I want to build programs that capitalize on what I've learned and be able to teach. I mean, I love coaching, but I started as a functional nutritionist, which is a lot of teaching as well. And so I love to sort of blend the two. So my group programs are some of my favorite things I do.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I have a Sober Edge book club.
Nice. I did see that. And I loved how you said BYOB, bring your own book.
Yeah. So and cute. We also say, you know, all of the fun without the wine, because, you know, lose the booze, keep the party. Because for most of us, you know, I loved book club, but it was a wine and wine fest. Yeah. So everybody whined and everybody drank wine. And when I stopped drinking wine, I stopped whining. And then I didn't want to be a part of it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Did you find that did you lose friends? Did you gain friends?
Oh my gosh, I've gained so many friends. And here's the story for me just a little bit, is I've had sort of a complicated relationship with friendship. Mm-hmm. I've always struggled to feel like I had friends, or I was a good friend, or I showed up as a friend, or I was the best friend, you know, all this. And it's a carryover from childhood. My sister told me, you have no friends and nobody likes you, you know. And so I held on to that story for a really long time. And so when I stopped drinking, some of my friends did shift and fall away a little bit. But with this alcohol-free business that I have, and the coaches that I've met, and the clients that I've met, I feel like it's fascinating. I actually feel like I'm actually a connector. I connect people together, which was something that I never saw, that was always there, but it was buried under these layers of stories and self-doubt. And so I have so many friends. I go around the country seeing my friends, and my husband's like, are those real friends? Or I'm like, yes, they're real friends, real people.
Yeah. And I was connected to you through Dr. Brooke.
Yes.
So wild. It's fascinating. I know. I love doing what I do now, because you end up meeting so many people.
Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, and my book club venture started with a friend. She was a client who became a friend, and she was kind of looking for an alcohol-free passion project. And I said, would you be interested? I've had this idea of starting a book club where we have a community for women that, because sometimes a sober community for women or an alcohol-free women's community feels like heavy. Like, we're going to go and we're going to, you know, talk about all our issues. And, oh, you know, it's almost, it's a lot. And those have a place and they're very helpful and important. But I also wanted there to be an opportunity, like book club should be fun and delightful and interesting. And so we've just sort of blended that together.
What a great idea. You have the best ideas and the best names. Did you what was it? The Naked Mind, is that what it's called?
So that's not my program. That comes from Annie Grace. And that is her big offer out there in the alcohol-free world. She's a big business called This Naked Mind.
Yeah, it matches you though.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, really it is about, you know, stripping down the stories we have and understanding that we don't need to numb from what our life is. We don't need to buffer between us and, you know, what's really happening in our life. And when we stop doing that and we get in touch with new ways and we have new tools, and it's not overnight. It takes work. You know, this is the work you do and the work I do. We do it on ourselves. We help our clients do it. And it's beautiful work. It's work worth doing, as Brooke Castillo would say, right?
Yeah.
Work worth doing. But then we have a place where we really are enjoying and thriving and building this life. And there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, alcohol is like the clothing that prevents you from being your full, beautiful, naked self, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way. Yeah. Yeah. We armor up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So where can we find you?
So you say you like all my names, but I have too many names. Best place to connect with me is either at my website, thesobernutritionist.com. I'm on Instagram, terry.thesobernutritionist. My podcast does have a different name, The Sober Edge.
I love it all. Or if anything, just go to the website and you can.
Yeah, then you can find things. Although I do have a few hidden programs because I do get excited and then, you know, do a book study over here or do a small little group over here. So get on my newsletter. And that's the easiest way to kind of catch up with what I'm doing. It comes out once a week.
Nice. And do you have any final words for someone out there that's struggling to make that first C happen, that first, what is it, commitment, right? The first bit of change with the relationship with alcohol.
Yeah, I think the very first place to start is with curiosity.
Mm.
That's my favorite thing to do, because I have found in my life that by leading with curiosity, I suspend judgment.
Mm.
And if I can ask myself, how is this making me feel? As opposed to telling myself, of course you feel awful again, you drank. It's a different energy. And so I invite people to get curious and just lean into that curiosity and allow that to unfold. And I think it almost always does.
Mm, beautiful. I think I might have to make the last words, the first words at the beginning of the show. That's the audio clip right there.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Everyone have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.